I didn't fly to Barbados this weekend to relax at my cottage. That's because I don't have my airplane. It was detained by some annoying company. And then the casino is, they're busting my balls saying I owe them money because my bank drafts were, quote, fraudulent. You know what's fraudulent? Fraudulence is inventing some new number called 00 and making it hit on the roulette table. 00, that's not even a number.
Does your airplane have a lien placed on it without your consent? Have you been wronged by casinos trying to scam you out of your hard-earned money? Or have you committed to long-term contract agreements and worried you won't be able to pay? I'm Whalen Axman of Whalen Axman & Associates, and my team of lawyers are here to help you get the justice you deserve. And don't worry, my team won't get paid until you get paid. So call us at 1-800-011-6165 for a free no-obligation consultation today. That's 1-800-011-6165, or on your cell phone at pound GTFO.
I'm Thomas Chabot, and you're listening to the Sense Call-Ups.
Season 8, baby.
From a studio that might actually have a number sometime soon. Welcome to Season 8, Episode 1 of the Sense Call-Ups for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. I'm Cardinal, Canuck and Panner here as well. The expectations for this team are pretty low for the upcoming season, but the signings of Colin White and Tom and Chabot have given fans something to be happy about. We'll see how long that lasts. Boys, summer seems to be hanging on at least a little bit. How's it going?
Can't believe we're back.
Yeah.
Where did that summer go?
We're back for season 8.
We've now outlasted Sens Underground.
We have. In number of seasons, I don't think we have quite the number of episodes yet because the last couple of years have been a little thin mostly.
No, it's all about seasons.
Mostly my fault. But yeah, eight seasons. And we're hopefully a little bit more. We were just
season 5.
Before we started recording, we were listening to some of the really early clips from early episodes. Okay, I'd like to think we're a little more polished than that. We'll see. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't think the team would have invited those guys.
I wouldn't have invited those guys, and I was one of them.
Thank you again for listening this whole time.
Exactly.
Holy crap, some of that's really bad.
Some of it's pretty bad, but I'm glad you guys have stuck with us, or that you've found us since then. But if you've been with us since the very beginning, we certainly appreciate the journey.
I'm sorry.
And hopefully we'll be able to do something at least a little more often than last year. I know I keep saying that, but we'll hope springs eternal. Let's put it that way. And we'll see. Anyway, summer.
We'll all retire within like 15 years from now. So then we can be more consistent.
Yeah, hopefully. I'd like to think I'm not doing this in another 15 years, but we'll see. We'll see. How's your summer? We haven't seen each other since July 5th, I think, was our last episode.
It's been the busiest professional summer I've ever had.
Yeah, me too. It's gone by fast.
It was hell.
And it was a pretty decent summer, as weather goes. It wasn't too hot.
Yep.
It had some spells.
It was very,
very dry.
Cold, then rainy, and then extremely hot.
Yes. Yes, it was
a good 10 weeks straight.
We had
cold, now it's hot again.
We had early spring until mid-June, and then we slipped straight into late June.
Yeah.
Summer weather.
Yes.
But that's okay. I had a great summer. I worked like a dog, like I usually do, but I got up to the lake quite a number of times. It was a good summer for fishing. That was a lot of fun. And just good to get away. I had 9 days up at the lake in August, which was very good for my psyche. Very good. So I haven't had all that recharging worn out of me just yet. And last weekend I was at the cottage and we painted the deck. And then on Sunday, tore down a chimney, a 2.5-story brick chimney. That was a lot of work. When you're doing all of it manually, it's a lot of work. But it was worthwhile. A lot of fun.
Wow.
Yeah. So now the Apparently, we have to go back up to the lake at least once more. We were figuring that we were done for the year, but we were told, "Oh no, you know that case of beer of yours? Yeah, I didn't bring it out." Well, why is it? Because we have to go back in and get it. Wink. I'm like, "Oh, okay." So we have to go back in and get it. All right, we'll have to go back in. That works for me. I'm fine with that. So we are here during preseason is underway.
Yep.
And I am surprised that we're actually doing this early, but we actually have quite a number of things to talk about. So before we start, some quick housekeeping. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Covered Bridge Brewing Company. Sorry, I can't read it all of it from here.
Iber Road, Stittsville.
No, what's the particular one called?
Oh, that's Dirty Blonde.
A Dirty Blonde. Okay. That's what the two gentlemen in front of me and to my left are having. And I am having one of my personal favorites, which is a Mill Street Brewing Hopped and Confused Session Ale. I love this. It's fabulous because it's hoppy and then not bitter at all. It's fabulous. Fabulous beer. Anything you want to talk about before we get started? I have some quick housekeeping. Anything else?
Well, the city, we now officially have our subway.
Woohoo! Well,
that's true. Yeah, okay. If you want to have a little local reference on that, very well. A
little LRT open.
Only 465 days late. But it did open, yes.
Yep. Actually, this would be one of my grinds, my years.
Have you? Okay. The fact that you've ridden it?
I have.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually kind of liked it.
It's very quick. It's very quick. I found. I've ridden the O train, the original O train, the Trillium line.
Mm-hmm.
I've ridden that many, many times, and it is much smoother than the new Confederation line. But I was in conversation about that the other day, and basically the rails need to settle a bit, and they need to get worn a little bit, so it will get smoother. Because I found there were a couple of points where I was like, okay, this is a brand new rail line. This should be a little smoother.
And the trains need to be weighed down by people, too.
Yes. When I was on it, it was very late at night, and it was quite empty. So that might be something to do with it. I had nothing to do at about 11:30 at night. I don't know whatever day it was last week. I went, well, let's go for a ride on the train. So I did. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Because there's a stop a block from where I live. It's really quite convenient.
All I could think of as the train rolls into Bayview and Pimsey or whatever it is like, man, there could have been a hockey arena here.
Yep, there could have been. Well, there could have been one at least under construction. It wouldn't have been finished yet, but mm-hmm. Yeah, there could have been one at least starting to be under construction.
Yep.
And how cool that would be to kind of get off and be there.
It'd be nice. It would
certainly
be.
It should have been an underground, but that's. or have the
building
on top of it.
Have what?
Have the building on top of it.
Oh, yeah, that would be really right cool.
There. Have the station.
So that you're not waiting. Yeah.
Well, that station's pretty big. Like, there's a lot. You'd be undercover if you were waiting for a train.
Yeah, not with the original plans, but we'll see what happens now.
No, but I mean, if you were waiting for a train in that station, you would be undercover. You may have to walk a slight distance from the building to that station.
Yeah, it was a seven-minute walk.
Really?
Yep. And people are like, yeah, it's only 7 minutes. I'm like, no, 7 minutes is long.
7 minutes would be a... very it's slow walk from that piece of property to that station.
The amount of people going.
Well, okay, 7 minute walk for I don't know who from me.
Mm-hmm.
Presuming that they have a door in the corner of that building getting out that way.
30 seconds.
I was going to say about 2.5, maybe 3.
Is that close?
Oh yeah, it's quite close because the building would be right up against the aqueduct.
Okay.
So I mean, you're literally going across that, and you're at the station. It's not far.
It's all a pipe dream now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Who's to say?
Yeah.
By the time they're doing that, the train will be all the way up to Kanata. So
yeah, I just tried it from Tunney's Pasture down to the market, and the Rideau stop actually was extremely convenient. Like, oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I went from my station in downtown. I went out to Via Rail, and then
that's convenient.
Very. I thought about going further, but it was getting very late at night, and I wasn't quite sure how many more trains there were going to be. And as I went through Herdman, I went, okay, there's a train coming in 5 minutes. So I went over to Via, changed over, took the train back in as far as Tunney's, and then turned around and came back.
Yep.
But it was at night, so I'd really like to see the stations in daytime.
I had a meeting downtown one day, and then after that I had to go to the East End. I started my day in the West End.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove, just because I have to go to all these different places all the time. So I ended up driving to Saint Laurent. Parking there, taking the train back downtown. It's easier parking downtown.
For sure.
And it saves, I don't care because it's expensive, but it saves about $12.
Mm-hmm. Only problem is then you have to cross downtown in rush hour at the end of the day.
No, I don't. I take the train.
to go back and get your car.
Oh, sorry. No, I was going to Orleans after.
Oh, okay. No problem then.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll be getting onto the Queensway, right, where the traffic is actually starting to move again. So that'd be okay.
Yep. It's beautiful.
Or take over.
It's, sure. I'm really happy about it. Larry O'Brien was at the big opening presentations of all these things. Former Mayor Larry O'Brien, for any listeners. Oh. Who's the one that canceled?
The North-South one, right?
The North-South one.
The original one.
20 years ago.
Yeah, that was Larry O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the one. Yeah. Oh, well, sometimes you have to simply grin and bear it. Right. Should we talk some hockey? Yeah, I mean, we talked about trains and so on. Yeah. Quick housekeeping before we start. podcast@sensecallups.com is the email address. The forums are at sensecallups.com. There will be the hockey pool again this year. And hopefully there'll be the game threads as well. CB Inc. has already said he'll run the hockey pool. And I was reading very quickly yesterday. I don't know whether Homer had chimed in that he would be doing the game threads every day.
Cool.
If not, then I guess I'll go back to trying to make sure I get them all done. Because it's been really convenient.
Yeah, it's great when the community helps out.
I appreciate it when somebody else is doing that because my work hours are pretty varied. But those are always a lot of fun. And the hockey pool is going to have some extra rules this year.
No cheating.
Well, except by CBA. There will be, it's still 1 point every time you put in a submission. There's points for wins and losses. There's points for getting the exact score. There's points for the game-winning goal. And there's an extra bonus point every time you drink a Labatt 50 during the game. That's easy. Labatt 50 is fabulous. I could rack up an awful lot of points. That's my weight gaining program.
3-1 stone?
Yeah, I'm going to have to find a new new game-winning goal person. I'm going to have to... I've used that one for a couple of years. I'll have to find a new one. But every point for a Labatt 50, there's my weight-gaining program over the winter. Drinking a few pints during a hockey game. That'll work. All right. Sorry. Our waiver wire. I forgot about that. Waiver wire sponsored by our friends at Versature. Thank you again for them. This will be, our fifth or sixth year with that?
Something like that, yeah.
Is 1-844-SCUSENS or 844-728-7367.
Great.
Hello? That was well done.
Yeah. You ready?
Yep. Game on!
All right. I don't have any of the game scores from the preseason games because I really didn't think they were all that important to talk about. We have a lot of stuff before that to talk about, or even during that to talk about.
The games are made up, but the points don't matter.
I think the most important news to start with would be, of course, the signing of
Colin White.
Woo!
Actually,
that was important. I think it was important to start. Like, it's a starting point. And if they hadn't done,
we'll get into that one.
If they hadn't done Colin White, maybe we wouldn't have seen this Thomas Chabot signing.
Possibly.
No.
So. I'm fine with the Colin White signing.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Is it perfect? No, but I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it too.
It's fine.
It's the first time I saw a long term signing.
Yeah.
Since the great purge of last year.
So I'm perfectly okay with it.
The great purge.
But the Thomas Chabot signing of 8 years $8 million a year. I think that's going to look like an Erik Karlsson deal, like his last contract with Ottawa.
It was a friggin' steal.
Yeah. It's going to look like the steal of the century in about 3 years. Well, it looks pretty good now, let's be honest. But it's going to look like the steal of the century.
It looks good now because $8 million in 4 years from now would be like $6 million today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off by saying, and I think there's a lot of Sens fans that feel this way. I was not feeling the season. I've been down on the actions of the team. You know, I refer to the great purge of last year, and there's just seemingly no foresight to long-term contracts, no sign that some of the young stars are going to stay. And Colin White was kind of like that is a good sign, but, you know, there's bigger names to come. The Thomas Chabot signing, it was...
Biggest one.
I got to hand it to him. That's the first bit of good news I've seen in a long time, so kudos to Doyen for getting him signed, for Melnick for opening up the purse for that, because I think to see Thomas Chabot walk.
Let's see if Eugene Melnick pays any of that.
So here's my first question.
Next year.
Right? Was that a no trade clause in there?
No trade clauses. He's got a partial in the last 4 years. They don't have the details on
it. So they could still break our hearts here.
Yeah, 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. 5 years from now.
5 years from now. It's not, it's, oh, I see what you mean.
Like they could trade him.
Yes, they can trade him.
I'm sorry, I can't afford to pay him anymore. But I just signed him for this.
So this is where I don't know why he accepted the terms that he did.
Indeed. Indeed.
Big thing for me, which I was somewhat patiently waiting, was the CBA date. Because I knew that the team was going to do pretty much what they did in this case. That the year that the CBA, because they didn't want to pay any signing bonuses. So the way you get around that is to just pay them in the non-lockout year. Pay a higher amount spread out over the other 7 years, which makes absolute sense. But you couldn't sign it because you didn't know if it was going to be in 2021 or 2023.
So they waited for that to come
out. For the September 15th, and then it was a couple days after that this came
through. I don't get it. You need to explain this to me.
So in the case that there's a lockout,
mm-hmm.
the team didn't want to be stuck with a signing bonus to pay.
Oh, okay, understood.
Yep. Because they have a restrictive mandate that the majority of the league does not, where they don't want to pay players for a year that they
don't play.
Even though if you just undercut them a bit in the next 2 years, you could put some money in a savings account.
Not that you know anything about that. It's
freaking dumb. But doesn't matter because they got through it. So now if there's a lockout, Shabbat forgoes $4 million of salary for that year because that's how much he gets paid in that year. But in the previous years, so in the first year and the second year of the contract, he gets paid $7 million. Then it goes down to $4 million for the potential lockout year. And then $8 million and $10 million and $10 million.
He's only getting paid $4 million in the year that there's
a potential. In the lockout year.
Of salary? That's allowed to go down that dip?
How is, yeah, that's, I'm thinking.
I thought there was a 50% rule that no year could be less than 50% of the top year. But I think it's, no year can be less than 50% of the consecutive years. So 7 going down to 4 is fine. But 4 going to 8 is fine because that's a maximum threshold that you can do.
If there's a lockout, they don't get paid their salary.
That's right. So,
what's the issue here?
There's none. This is freaking brilliant for the team.
No, but why did they have to wait?
To know
what year there might be a lockout. What year
there would be a lockout. If because it's in 2021... He gets paid $7 million. Why would Shabbat agree to that?
So this way they know and the year that there might be a lockout. It's not guaranteed, but it's 2023 when the lockout may occur. That's why, because after the 15th, they're not reopening it. That's why we know that's the end of the labor agreement is 2023.
Right.
So that's the year there may be a lockout. So that's the year that he says, I'll take the lower salary there. I'll take the rest of the money spread out over the other years.
Understood. Okay.
So I was this wondering is the same thing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What's that?
It makes sense for both sides.
No. This makes sense for the Ottawa Senators.
Well, it also makes sense for him because if there is a lockout and he doesn't get paid.
He essentially has an $60 million guaranteed income versus $64 million guaranteed income.
Well, which would be if they had done 8x80, you'd only have 56. Yeah,
but would he have otherwise, because I was thinking his value is probably more of a 7x7. 7x7 seems a little bit more fair for what his value is. So we'll just pay you $15 million more over an extra year.
Yeah, I'm still okay with it.
Freaking brilliant.
So you think that will be the Sens strategy with other long-term signings?
That's all they need.
Is just, we're going to make your potential lockout year low. And
the only other one that we've got to worry about is Brady, and that's next summer.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Well.
No, he's eligible. Where is he? He's eligible next summer.
Yeah. Unless you're looking at some of the older players that you may want to resign or let them go, which we'll be talking about later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, that's it's the best end news in a long time. But
again, does anybody else on this roster merit a significantly structured deal?
Not that size, no.
Yeah, no. I don't think so. Outside of Brady.
Yeah.
When was the last time we had this kind of good news on a signing? It's been a while.
Dude.
2015 when the 4 or 5 UFAs all got signed?
Well, like Spezza and Heatley they signed for the beginning of the season?
No, this was like...
That's a long time ago.
Anderson, I think Ryan was part of that, Mathot. MacArthur.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? That might have been it. Anderson.
Yeah, because Carlson's deal was years before.
It might have been Bobby Ryan, to be honest.
Well...
No.
Nope. Oh, no, he's in the 7 year... He's in year... Five right now of a yeah. 7 year deal, so that would have been four seasons previous to this. That would have been 2014.
No, 2015. It might have been the same one.
Long story short,
in my head today,
the Shabbat signing has pulled my interest back in. Now I feel like I can watch and not feel extremely negative about what bomb's going to go off next.
100% agreed.
So you know, my heart may get broken again, but you know, at least they pulled me back in. So. Kudos to the Senators for doing it.
Yeah. So kudos for them getting it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done by them. Where credit is deserved, credit is given. I agree. So we're both happy with that. A couple of other...
Both happy.
Oh, sorry, we're all happy. My apologies. Well, you both are happy. I'm tired, all right?
He's confused and hopped.
And yeah, I'm hopped and confused. That's my problem. A few other things that have gone on. These aren't signings. These are trades and things of that nature. So... Mike Condon and a sixth to Tampa Bay for Callahan and a fifth. That's a money-saving move.
Because Callahan's not playing.
Callahan's not playing.
I forgot about this.
But it also clears up part of the monster logjam of too many goalies.
Could have just bought him out, to be honest.
Could have.
You got to pay for that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this means you don't.
Like, I know Dorian's like, well, this is one move that we've done that saves us money. It's like, no, you've been doing this forever.
It saves money. And...
He's been doing this since day one when he traded Zibanejad.
And it upgrades a sixth to a fifth. So, whatever.
Which could be a one spot.
Yeah.
So, true. So, again, with where Tampa was, granted, each side got something out of it. But, again, I don't want to focus in regards to your finances. Because that's not what interests me in a hockey team. Ish.
I like watching this team because they run their books pretty good.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But it does clear up some of the goalie problems. So I'm fine with
ish,
that.
But Tampa was stuck. So again, you kind of helped them out to sign Braden Point ish.
Which they just did.
Yesterday.
Yeah, the St. Louis trade for Falk was today.
So if they needed your help to clear up that space, she had gotten a little bit more than moving up a few spots.
Probably. But.
You saved the Leafs from being able to sign Mitch Marner. So you gotten a little bit more than saving a bit of cash. If it was a hockey trade.
The trade for CeCe was Zaitsev.
Connor Brown.
And Connor Brown. Right?
Yep. For CC Harper and a third round pick.
Yes, but getting rid of CC and Harper is like, thank you.
but you could have also just not qualified CC.
True.
1 year left of him.
Yeah.
Or you just take it for another year and I'm sure he'll go for something good at the deadline this year.
That's right. He did have but no.
He had one year of RFA left.
Okay, so
they could have gone through arbitration
again. Yeah. Fair enough. I think it was.
But this is so everything is cash first.
Yeah, but it balanced. It was cash first. I freely admit that.
Okay. So
but
yeah,
it was also a decent trade. A great trade. A great trade. No, it was a decent trade. It cleared. It got rid of.
It took one short term problem and got one long term problem.
Yeah. Well, and also cleared up some of the space on the blue line by having CeCe and Harper both gone for others to come in.
We could have waived Harper
before. They signed a 38-year-old, which I'm
that's not, right, I forgot.
I'm not happy about. But we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a minute.
The kids are all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Grandpa.
We're all right, right, Dad?
Hang on a second. A 38-year-old is a good deal younger than I am. I should probably be a little less snarky about that.
He's younger than all of us, to be honest.
Yeah. What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were still under that threshold.
Nope.
Okay, never mind. I'm still the one that's farthest over it. I can't even see that line anymore. Next, Zach Smith for Artem Anisimov.
Didn't like that one, but I understand.
I actually like it.
I don't mind it.
I like it. Again, it was a cash dump.
It's a cash dump, but I think it's probably an upgrade on the player itself. A different style of player?
Artem Anisimov can be traded at the deadline. Zach Smith cannot.
Yeah, that too. Now, Zach, how many years left on Anisimov's contract?
Two. He's gone this year.
Well, that's, he's on the list he's later
useful.
On.
He's useful.
Yeah, he's on the list for later on.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this trade. Yep, I'm good with it. I don't have any qualms about it at all. Is it it's not a blockbuster. It's not a, oh my God, we want it. Okay. Still okay with it.
It's moving an immovable asset.
Yep.
For a movable asset.
And getting something back in return that's, I think, better for what this team is trying to do. Not that I have a problem with Zach Smith. I didn't. Never have. Mm-hmm. Never have. But.
And Chicago's amazing. It's a great city. See, again, this is in the same way. It's like, we're going to trade Zibanejad because he's a jerk. So, or he's not trying hard enough. So,
and he DJs on the side.
So he's going to have the unfortunate situation of living in Manhattan.
Poor guy.
Works for him.
Chicago is another world-class city.
Yeah, with an arena in a really bad part of town, but it's still a great city.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking over.
Hello, Detroit, among others, New Jersey. So, again, I'm fine with that trade. I don't want to dwell too long on it, but I'm fine with it. Sorry.
Sport.
The next quick bullet point I had was, it was a something that happened really at the very, very, very beginning of training camp where Christian Molanen fell on the ice. And he has a torn labrum and he's out for 4 months.
Yep.
It's like...
Can't get a break here. Last year was Pajot.
Pajot, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's like Pajot that last year, will add in this year. Freak injury right at the beginning of training camp and the player's gone for half the season.
Yeah. Bigger loss on him than for the team, though, but...
Still. Yes, it is a loss for him.
It's not like Pajot was last year. That
he's not an essential cog like Pajot was last year.
Correct. But this was a good... This was his breakout year.
So
should have been his breakout
year. Let's see who steps up.
It'll be interesting to see.
So I thought Lajoie played really well in the preseason.
And he's in the minors now.
And they sent him down.
Well, okay. We'll see what happens next with that then.
Got to make room for that 38-year-old.
We found your new Cody Ceci.
I think he may end up being a whipping boy, to be completely honest.
He point? Can he point?
Can't say.
Okay, point.
You actually mentioned that you wanted to talk about Hainsey's first press conference. I missed this reference.
Oh, man, you got to listen to this.
I missed this reference. I have no idea what this is about.
This is
going to
make you like him even more.
Like, or in air quotes, like?
Air quotes.
Air quotes, like. Air quotes. All right.
So essentially, I can't remember all of it, but he ended up answering the first question. So what does it mean about you having the A and all this stuff. It's like, well, that just means I've been around for too long.
Well, that's a lighthearted comment. I don't know.
Yeah. So you can kind of take this. And then anyway, so someone, and you talked about leadership and all this other stuff. The next question was asked. He's like, well, did you record it? Cause it's the same thing that I'm just going to repeat myself. So just go back to your tape.
Well, I see. I don't have a problem with that answer. You just asked the same question again.
This is the first time you meet with the Ottawa media.
That's okay.
He just pulled a Bill Belichick?
You are there for your leadership skills.
Well, I'm still okay with it.
Are you an expert?
It was lighthearted with the first answer. He's lighthearted with the second one.
It's a lot of attitude. Yeah. A lot of people didn't really like it.
Are you an expert?
Exactly. That's where I was going. It was such an Andy Sutton. So you're an expert. Exactly. That's exactly where I was about to go with it. It's like, that's a bit of an Andy Sutton. I got no problem.
Different scenario totally, though.
Well, yeah. But it was...
Yeah, he wasn't doing that to his own media.
It was still funny. It was still funny.
Well, you didn't see the tape?
So you're an expert. Do you want to talk about what's been going on in camp so far? If you wish.
Oh, things.
Well, things. Well,
why don't you start with SenseFest? Or FanFest?
FanFest, yeah. So they brought in a lot of the stuff. I think it was all the bouncy castles.
I didn't want to walk 10 feet down to go see it. So,
yeah, I know. It's like you're right.
It's in your backyard now, literally.
I'm like, no, I don't want to go.
It's so they brought in a bunch of the stuff, which is fine because it's the weather. You can't complain about the weather in
a weekend,
August.
No, so they put it down on the ice, or
so no, because they had the scrimmage and stuff like that. They had a lot of practices. Holy crap! So DJ works hard.
Rest is a weapon.
So the 300, 200 level.
Oh, on the concourse.
So yeah, so they just threw those on the concourse.
Okay.
I don't think they turned on all the lights. One of the two Sen stores was closed on the top floor.
Okay.
And they didn't have much merchandise on the bottom floor.
Was the place well attended?
I think it was about the same amount of people, but I think they also kept the lights off or half the lights on.
Why?
Save on cost.
Really?
So I was just like, I didn't have the energy in there that I normally do.
When you say the lights, you mean the lights in the arena on the ice?
In
the arena.
No, not on the ice. In the concourse.
Oh. Well, that's odd. Weird.
Save money.
Aren't they LEDs now?
Or the person who knows how to turn them on doesn't know it wasn't there.
So
they installed a new building automation system that nobody knows.
So all things considered.
Did they have a lean on the light bulbs? Warming up. It's episode one.
Okay. Yeah. Got a long way to go in the warming department.
It kind of felt pared down. Like, I won the thing to meet, like, for the scratch and wins to meet a player. And I got Max Verano. It's like, and they like Tyler Ennis and Anisimov and Yaros there. I think that's it. There might have been another former Leaf guy. And the first year that I went to that, I think it was, were you with me in that one?
Was that the first year we went and got a ton of sound?
I remember.
Clark MacArthur. Bobby Ryan. Yeah.
So we suddenly warmed up to the guy. Clark MacArthur,
Bobby Ryan, Craig Anderson.
I think I had Boro in that.
Boro was in the hall, though. No. Yeah, he might have been one of them.
We had Boro.
Zach Smith was out in the hall. He was out in the just everybody walking by section. I remember that. So I'm like, I remember him standing up and going, holy crap, you are huge.
Yeah. Robin Leonard. Still freaking nightmares. He's such a big man. But anyway, so the quality of the players is really kind of bottomed out.
Well, so the team doesn't have a lot of stars yet.
Yeah. I'm like, well,
they're
Brady. Shabbat.
So the
I don't know where Pajot was. I don't know where Anderson was.
The fan fest was
Nielsen. I didn't even see.
Was it focused around the on ice activity then, primarily? Rehearsal and scrimmage and.
Yes, I guess. Hmm. Like the scrimmage is a highlight of it, right? Bounce castles and stuff like that. And maybe kids will just stay out, or you let the kids outside more to play in these things in like 4 or 5 minutes. And then, all right, we're just sitting here.
I don't know.
And like just because when they would interview the captain for the kids interviews, that was a big thing before. They brought that into the rink, I think, and it was okay, but it's not. Like it might have just been me, but it really felt not as energized.
Well, there's also so many. I mean, there's so many big names that are gone. So there's a lot. There's a lot less. Somebody. It wasn't me. That's my recording. Okay. There are a lot fewer big names that everybody knows really, really well compared to before.
Max Verano.
Well. Up and comer, maybe. Who knows? But there's just
no offense. No. He's a very nice kid too.
No, I mean in the interviewing, like the kids doing the interviews. There's just so many of these players that they probably don't like. Honestly, Shabbat doesn't have a lot of name recognition in this city yet, the way that Mark Stone or Eric Carlson did, or Alfie did. I mean, nobody will have it like Alfie did. But it's going to take time. I mean, even Brady is still very young in his career. Do we know him? Yes. But his brand, for want of a better term, isn't as big yet.
Okay. So looking at what some other teams are doing, that the Sens don't really bring up player brand as well as other teams, either in hockey or in other sports.
I think they could certainly do a better job at it.
Yeah.
I think they need to bring up their players as They need to do a better job of bringing up their players as individuals mm-hmm. as well as players. I think they're.
But then when a player's an individual, and then he's selfish, and then you have to trade him. To
see no, no. Right? I'm not saying he's. No. As an individual, as in this is who the person is, the person mm-hmm. behind the hockey player.
Yep.
Now, I mean, there's also privacy. Like, I'm not interested in having people in my private life kind of thing. Fine. But you can be a little, you can be better known by, not necessarily by better access, but by simply being put out there more.
Yeah.
And because this team is so new, there's been so much changeover mm-hmm. and they're so young. There's not a lot of timeline in almost all of these people.
What if they gave out their Fortnite user IDs and you could play with them online?
Or made a bunch of team ones. Like, well, if they play it, they can play it under their private one whenever they want. But they could, you know, say, have a rotating of so-and-so, like, I don't know. Like, the way that Twitter handles are done for, like, TSN underscore Steve Lloyd or right. TSN blah, blah, blah. So you have Senators underscore Pageau or Senators underscore Shabbat, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Suddenly you can be playing with them in-game because they take their one or two nights over the season to play Fortnite under the Senators' actual brand. That could be fun. I'm not a Fortnite player, so.
And it's like, I'm playing with Bobby Ryan because he's building really slow.
Well, he's having problems with one controller. It must be that hand.
But anyway. So things like, because I don't know if you saw what Vegas did with Mark Stone.
They put him out somewhere. I saw that.
So, yeah.
And nobody knew who he was.
It was. So they had a bobblehead night, and this was in the preseason. Mark Stone just looks like a guy in reality. He's just, really, really big, and he's got weird ears. But they had him handing out his own bobbleheads at the door. Some people realize it right away. Some didn't. But that's fun. That's nice, having a get Pageau to do that. Someone that's recognizable.
For sure.
Great. Borowiecki would love it.
Oh.
He'd be great. He would be great.
He would, because he's got such an... He's such a likable guy when you meet him. He's the kind of guy you want to sit around at the local pub and have some pints with because you'd be killing yourself laughing about 90% of the time.
If you tell him, it's like,
parents seem nice.
Can you help out the brand? Do I have to be in a video with Eugene again? No. Great.
I would think there'd be probably a number of players who would think that could be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I just mentioned Bobby Ryan. When he was first... signed here or traded to be here, didn't they take them down into like Hindenburg and
do
some, they took him down to Westboro
and people didn't know who he some of them didn't know who he was yet, right? Do some fun stuff like that.
Yep,
could be fun. We're getting into marketing. Preseason overall, preseason thoughts overall.
Fine. Rookie camp was amazing. They went 3-0.
Beating the Leafs twice was worth it. Doesn't amazing. Matter what happens the rest of the preseason.
Yeah.
Beating the Leafs twice. Well,
it's like you want to see progress.
Especially when one of the local writers for The Athletic is, Austin Matthews is giving the fans what the fans in Ottawa what they want. I'm like, was it you that replied, a loss?
No.
Oh, somebody did. I'm like, that's good.
That's a new one?
Yeah.
She needs to learn quick.
Yeah. She's a...
And she's like, the fans here are chanting Austin Matthews and Brian Fivers. He's like, no, they're not. And I was like, I don't hear it either.
She's trying to butter the bread for the Leafs because everything is Leaf-centric. That's it. Is CJ still with The Athletic?
Yeah. They just added her.
Oh.
Okay. Which I'm like, okay, well, this will be interesting. It's a younger voice and it's a female opinion or woman's opinion, which I like the diversity of ideas.
So far, she's been stepping in it.
Yep.
Probably.
And she's like, well, I just moved here 5 days ago. I'm like, you didn't know that the Leafs were a draw?
You moved
here. And you know what?
From where?
Where?
Yeah. From where did you move?
And so you think it's bad here? Go to Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's worse.
Uh-huh. Big stuff.
And even in that, because I ended up, Andrea Gironis ended up replying back to her on something. And I was like, listen, I can go to 3 other Ottawa Senators games or go to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a fun experience. Why would I?
If they lose, it's miserable. If they win, it's like, whew.
Yeah. It's not overly fun. And the Sens have been demolishing the Leafs.
That's the one fun part about it is they are. So Leafers go home disappointed. Thank you for your money. Go home.
Yeah.
Disappointed. Go cry in your beer somewhere else.
No, apparently, they're not discounting the, because if season ticket holders buy more tickets,
mm-hmm.
they're not discounting the Leaf ones anymore.
good. Well, because I mean, if season ticket holders are buying them at a discount and then reselling them.
Okay. Oh, you know what Vegas does? Because I bought the singles for when I go in a couple weeks.
It'll lock it right down to your account.
Single game tickets are cannot be resold or transferred.
Yeah.
How would they know if you did?
It's all electronic.
It's all electronic. It's all locked out.
So, well, okay, locked out. But what if you just forward it to me?
It's a rotating barcode. It rotates all the time.
Yeah.
They use a special app for it.
Oh.
And so I don't get the tickets until the day before the game.
Yeah. Even if like you send it to me and I'm going to go in as you, like the code keeps changing every 30 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay. Sorry. I was asking this question because I didn't know. I'm like, well, what's going to stop you from transferring?
Because we'll just screenshot it, send it. But yeah, I know.
Ah,
They've done a real good job of limiting the market there because it would just go crazy.
Well, yeah. That's quite clever.
It would.
Mm-hmm. That's quite clever. I like it.
There's one guy who did not like the Thomas Chabot signing, and that was Dart Guy.
Oh. Why? Because Ottawa's got someone better than Morgan Riley for longer?
That was great. The day, was it the Suck same it, Fina. Day?
I mean, Dart Guy.
Was it the same day or the day after the signing?
It was right.
You know, it's like Quebec City has an owner just sitting there waiting and an arena. I'd hate to leave or lose the Battle of Ontario, but...
Oh, was that Dark Guy who said that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you just see, move I don't, them to Quebec. It's like...
I don't know who Dark Guy is, and I don't care, because he's not relevant to me.
He's not relevant.
Period.
Yeah, period. And why would you move a team to a market that's...
Smaller.
A third to half the size of this one. Yeah, they have a new building. Yep, that's the only criteria.
Everybody said yes to the building.
Oh, yeah, it was an implosion of the team itself that caused a problem with the building, so.
Everybody wanted it. Everyone agreed to it.
And then...
It's not like the government said no or put it into a situation that Calgary screwed us, but Calgary really screwed us.
I said it back in April or March that I believe Eugene Melnyk is selling this team.
Well, I hope you're right.
And I still hold firm to that.
Okay. We can go into his troubles if you like.
Well, because in the last,
he made the news a couple times.
3 weeks or 2 weeks? The first one was the casino. That was about, it would be twice. So the casino's
2.5 years ago.
So he gambled on borrowed money.
Which you can do.
And then when he went to pay off the borrowed money, the bank drafts were fraudulent.
They didn't pass. I don't know whether they were fraudulent. They simply didn't pass. Now, how can you get a bank draft?
How do you get in that position?
Why would you send a bank draft? Wire the funds. You would never send that much money in bank drafts.
Well, I thought
it was. Is that like you being at the teller?
It costs you a bloody fortune in user, like in creation fees.
It's $8.
I picture him up at the desk.
I don't know how much it was cost.
He's like writing out a check.
Yeah. No,
but for someone of Eugene, and I really don't know about this, so I'm fine with that. But you just make a phone call and they send the funds.
It should be that
simple. And that's it.
Well,
that's it.
Unless you don't have them.
Or unless you're
arguing.
And now
hey, banker, juggle my money for me and make the money appear.
Pretty much don't know anything about. So for him to just send three random bank drafts and go, checks in the mail.
It is a bit odd.
It makes no sense.
And then his Now, how does he have a corporate jet?
No, it's his personal jet. Because he's going from Barbados and everywhere, right? Barbados to Toronto.
To Toronto or to here.
So why would he fly a commercial? He's worth $1.2 billion. Why would you fly?
Apparently.
We got three commas, baby. You don't see me with two commas. You know that reference, yes?
I don't know the reference, but it's a great line.
That's Silicon Valley. Yeah, I love that show.
That's a good reference.
It's a great show.
So his jet gets impounded or seized, and they were threatening to auction it for back debts on it. Everything from
landing fees, insurance,
fuel, parking. The fuel. Yeah. All sorts of things. Like, okay, how do you fly a jet without all these things being paid on it? But anyway, So, again, it seems like
there's... Maybe that's who I saw flying over the CTC there. The ultralight. I sent you that video, right?
You did. Yeah, well, he wants to see what the building looks like one last time from the air.
In an ultralight.
But it seems to point to a bit of a liquidity problem. It doesn't say that he's broke, but it doesn't seem to show that he's got a lot of liquid assets.
Because, yeah.
So, does that...
Generally, someone with that wealth would, one, never gamble at a casino. Well, it's not worth your time.
Well, I don't see the attraction. That's a personal thing. I see no attraction in gambling. It doesn't do anything for me.
I bet on all the numbers and I can't lose. Double zero.
All right, then.
Yeah, because you just don't do that. And who would even risk of flying a plane without insurance or paying for it?
Well,
why would you bother?
Who would be the operator that would okay that? Like, you've got to have an operator.
Well, just put it on credit. Just put it on credit. Don't forget, there's also $1 billion counterclaim still on him.
Sellafvacations.com. So
he cannot get another loan. He can't get overdraft.
I don't know what's going on, but it seems interesting, so, and that's yep. why I still.
And this is when they're saying, look at how much we've committed now with Shabbat and White. That doesn't start till next year.
When the payment from
CMO exactly.
It's fast, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, they'll burn through it pretty quickly.
It's fast. So
we'll see. I'm still
my other thing with this too was, well, it's going to be difficult to value the senators without a land deal for the new arena.
I don't think it's difficult. It'll just devalue them.
Because, well, don't forget though, because before it was all the bidding process for LeBreton, and now with Toby that's in charge of the NCC, who's a brilliant guy. He's like, no, this is this parcel, this is this parcel, and we're doing this here, and we're doing this here, and we're doing this here, and we're doing this here. It's like, that's how you get around it. So with potential owner R, Ferretti, he can have a conditional land deal for the donut hole that they have waiting for the arena.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So it's like, I will pay X amount or do whatever the land deal is with you guys. That they already have the whole friggin' infrastructure from the negotiation. But I will only agree to this conditional on me owning the Ottawa Senators.
I don't think Roddy's interested in owning the team. Do you think? He's a land developer.
It's part of the thing, and he's not alone in that.
I've never seen any...
Remember? Because don't forget, he brought in the Desmarais group and all them too.
Well, I could...
And everyone signed off and agreed to it.
But that was on the development deal, not on owning the team itself. So I don't know whether they would. I don't know whether he has interest. I think Paul Desmarais may, or the Soleil people may have interest in owning the team. But I don't know whether Ruddy himself does.
Whatever conglomerate,
yeah.
Someone will.
Can you guys remind me? Is the in Barbados is Burt's Bar still open?
I think no, that one's closed.
It is closed.
Yeah, your parents said that, right?
Yeah.
So it's closed.
And he also didn't pay the employees. Close
them last time. Does he have anything successful still running?
Racehorses?
No, is that gone?
No, never. I think he still has some.
Which one?
Racehorses.
No, he sold those.
I thought he got
some. So he got back into breeding. He's like, this doesn't breeding. Pay as much as it used to. Okay. So of course, you can lay him out.
I don't know. Even apparently his R&D in pharmaceuticals isn't doing so well. So I don't know. I don't know how much money he has or whether he has a significant amount coming in. So, if he wants a significant amount to be able to spend, then selling the team is one of the things he can do.
And he didn't sell high.
Never has. He's always screwed himself over.
Yeah.
He's always done it.
So, in 2017, the LeBreton deals are kind of getting finalized. Everything's looking very hunky-dory. And he goes and gambles.
Ouch. I don't know.
Literally.
Yeah, no. There's no understanding in this, at least for me. I that's why I still think he's going to be selling it. I just can't say when, because it seems to be that things are closing in.
Have you heard of the $1 blackjack table?
Can I put 900,000 of those down?
Oh, yeah.
Can I?
I got to check with my manager.
How many tables can I play at once? Yeah. Now, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. There's a lot of players who are coming up with not that much time left on their contract, or, you know, they're in their last year or last 2 years. Some of them are recent additions to this team. Some of them are players who have been there for quite a while. But come the trade deadline, unless this team is pulling off some sort of miracle run, and even if they are, do you want to just go, okay, you know, miracle run, great, but we're going to tank and yada, yada, yada. There are a number of players that there's some interesting questions.
Don't even let them go on a do the Tim Murray. Oh, you shouldn't play well? Gone.
Well, could do that. Didn't help Tim Murray last very long, but I mean, there's a whole bunch of players on this list. And I mean, some of them are recent additions and some of them aren't. Some of them are players who still have a great deal to offer and some of them aren't. Butker. But what would you do with some of these players come the trade deadline? Bodker, I don't think you're getting rid of him because I don't think anybody's going to want him, number one.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think so.
Waivers.
Maybe.
Next week. I'm not kidding.
But
he's going to get the Zach Smith treatment. Just let's throw a flyer at it.
I can't see anybody taking a
real I can't either.
Why would they?
So put him in Belleville then.
Nah. It's a lost season. Leave him up here, whatever.
Okay.
And right? Why are you going to ruin a kid or put them?
I was going to say the only advantage of putting him in Belleville is you could have somebody else up here, but that means that they're going through a pretty rough season up here. Leave the veteran there. Leave the kid down in Belleville.
Yeah. So because what I'm looking for this year, and I think we talked about this in the summer episode a while ago, definitely a top four pick, but Columbus might beat us to that, is I want to see progress in the NHL. No more than 45 shots against, at most, 8 times in the season.
Well,
because okay. That was friggin' bad.
Yeah.
Shot differential has to be clamped down. Better special teams.
Uh-huh.
And individual progress in regards to the players that matter.
And in regard to two of those last three things that you mentioned, the one thing that's been concerning me so far in the preseason, and I realize it's preseason, and there's a, you know, rotating door of players that are playing. The one big weakness I see on this team so far is related directly to two of the things you just said. Mm-hmm. Special teams and shots against.
Okay, so we lost yesterday 6-4 mm-hmm. when a guy who's not even going to make the AHL team took a 5-minute major and they scored 2.
They scored 2 there and they also scored 2 more power play goals in that game.
Yeah, but you don't have a meathead going around taking a 5-minute major penalty.
No.
So, and then everything else is learning and having the right people out. So.
True. But the penalty kill so far this preseason has not been good. And that's key because this team could well take a lot of penalties this season, unfortunately, being young, inexperienced, etc.
If that's a one thing they need to work on this year, great. Because the power play already looks better.
The power play looks better, but yeah. I really want the penalty kill to be better than it is because that is a fairly serious concern for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm looking for in the NHL, and the AHL is a winning environment.
Good.
That's cool.
What is that?
That's an excellent echo. That's just the filter bending.
Okay.
Oh. Do you want me to do it again?
No. That's right in the ears.
Wow. I don't know if that's recording or not, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Just gives you an idea. And then, yeah, so AHL winning mentality. Environment, and then come up at deadline.
Okay.
And then go back down for playoffs. So Michael Bodker being on the fourth line, third line, first line here.
Shootout specialist.
Versus having him in the AHL and somebody else up.
No, I'd rather have him up here.
Yeah.
Let's see if it's
like Logan Brown or even Nick Paul.
What's the point, right? Let the development happen in the development league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The development gets exactly. stunted in the big
so
league.
So this is a mentality that I've got when everyone's like, well, it's like, we got to give room for the young kids. I'm like, no, you don't.
Pardon me. I agree.
Okay, next.
All right, next. Jean-Gabriel Pageau. I believe he's on his last year of his deal.
That's right.
I would like to keep him around.
We need some centers.
We don't need them.
Depending on how it develops,
I guess. We don't need them long term. I don't think all of them will be ready for the NHL next year. Depending on who else has moved out,
you can shove people to the wing.
But I mean, if the next person on this list was Chris Tierney, if Tierney and Pageau are gone, then there will be a hole down the middle of this team.
I pick Pageau over Tierney.
I agree to keep.
My heart says to keep him. My head says his playoff value and what you can get for that will far outweigh what he will contribute to the Ottawa Senators for the rest of his career.
I wouldn't go quite that far. I would say that of the centers that we have who are available, he will be the one with the greatest potential return.
Montreal at the trade deadline.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So his trade value, whatever that is probably going to be worth more than whatever he will bring to the Ottawa Senators for the next 3 years.
I wouldn't go that far, but I would stick with the first part that he'll have the greatest return. Therefore, what he could contribute becomes irrelevant because
if he can contribute more, then you keep him.
I think he can contribute more than somebody else who we may keep because Pageau was worth more at the deadline as a trade. I think he may be able to be more.
It's very much like when we traded Chris Kelly.
I feel like I've already had the golden years of 44.
Well, I think he may start wearing down because of his size.
That 4 for 44 thing?
Yeah. Unfortunately. So I mean, I was the one who didn't think he'd make the NHL. I own that.
Yeah.
I
don't think a lot of people thought he would.
Because I loved watching him play in Hull. I thought he was phenomenal, but I'm like, oh man, he's small. And I'm really happy that he's proved me wrong on that. But how long can he keep doing that?
You know who will want him?
He's getting smaller, though.
Montreal will want him.
Montreal's not a playoff team this year.
Yeah.
They might be a bubble. Maybe.
But
the team who's playing Montreal would want him even more.
True.
Because he can really annoy Gallagher. And we've already seen that many times. So Pageau, I would like to keep, but not necessarily. Tierney, I'm not as attached to.
But you got to keep one.
You'd have to keep one of those two. I don't think you can get rid of both.
So DJ doesn't seem to really like him much.
Tierney?
Yeah.
Oh.
They were playing him like fourth line.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes at the beginning of the season.
He's better than Anisimov.
Well, Anisimov, okay, there's another name on the list. Gone at the trade deadline.
I think so.
Okay.
Take what you can.
Exactly.
Third, fifth.
Tierney, same. Or, what about Hainsey?
3 year deal.
Bye-bye.
3 year deal.
If you can get a sixth round pick in 2021 for him.
As long as they don't overkill him like they did. Like Toronto did, because Toronto really used him a lot.
Because they had to. They had nothing else.
Yeah.
Kind of like this year. They got nothing else.
No, they got CeCe now. I don't know
what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And Harper.
What a mistake. Did you see my screenshot of both of them facing the wrong way again?
Yes, I did laugh about that. I did. So, Anisimov, Tierney. DeMello?
Yeah.
I would keep him.
I think he's young.
Him and Tierney, like they're utility players.
Yeah, right. And they're useful pieces,
mm-hmm.
And they're not top line, they're not top pairing, but they're useful pieces. They're effective pieces. So if they can be kept, I'm in no rush to get rid of them. I'm not rushing those two out the door. But if there's a good return on them, okay.
Now I think the team might trade them just to muddy the waters of the return of the Carlson trade. So you just keep shell gaming them. Until you're just like, I don't remember what the return
was. Oh, I see where you're going.
Because now if you're telling me that, because it's a lot of people are saying it's like Tierney's kind of maybe fourth liner and DeMello might be seventh D. I'm like, so you're telling me the only roster players you could get for Carlson are healthy scratches?
Well, that also becomes, a year or two later, depending on where it goes. Like, we don't know where they're going to end up. Because we don't know how this...
And like you said, they're 25, 24.
They're not that old. And there's also...
you got Balcers, you've got Norris, and you've got the first. But I'm like, that for Erik Karlsson?
But we don't know that they're going to be fourth line and seventh until the season starts to actually shake out. And it may simply be that they'll get elevated because they need to be. That's where they've been playing in the preseason because they want to give as much time as they can to young players. Fair enough. It's preseason. It doesn't count. Tyler Ennis.
Gone.
He's only on a one-year deal, isn't he? Yep.
Yeah. Everyone who's on a one-year is gone.
I figure as much.
And you, again, a pick B prospect.
And that's fine. The two last names on this list are the ones who've been around the longest, which would be Craig Anderson and Mark Borowiecki.
Anderson, I think you watch and see what kind of season he has. Goalies are weird.
I think, especially if they start making him more like a 1A, 1B rather than a 1 and 2.
With the tandem that they're talking about, I think it's going to be a lot.
Work him a little less. I mean, I know he likes to work, but work him a little less. Yeah. He's not young. No offense, Craig. And working him a little less might be good for the goalie tandem in general. But if the team is going nowhere quickly, which we fully expect it not to be, at mm-hmm. the trade deadline, someone offers you something for him. He's in the last year of his contract, is he not?
Yes.
So we have lots of other goalies to call up if need be.
Yeah.
Craig, thanks very much, because he's been around as long as we have. thanks.
Yeah.
But off you go. And Boro, I love the guy. I think he's great, but he's not a key piece.
But he's got an A.
Yes, he does, because he's been around a long time. He sets a good example. He may not be the best player on the ice. I mean, not even close to that. And I'm not saying that to be nasty. He's not. But nobody questions his work ethic, which is what this team needs as an example for the young players.
Yep. If he can go to a team and be just a depth guy for playoffs.
Yeah.
Or even a sixth round pick, whatever.
Again, that's fine. Love the guy. Not trying to get rid of him, but
it just doesn't fit anymore.
If there's a good offer for him, then it's a business, and that's the way it happens. At least as far as I'm
concerned. And he's left side, right? Because you got Shabbat, Branstrom, Wallin, and Lajoie. You can't
there's lots of left side. Exactly.
Being positive in a negative situation is leadership.
Thanks, Tips.
Gotta hate that.
Question for you?
Yeah, Craig Anderson though.
Yeah, Craig Anderson. Yeah,
you saw what New Jersey did this year, right? This summer?
Everything.
They did make a lot of moves, I'll give you that.
So they got Gusev out of Vegas. And who's the kid's name? Jack Hughes, first overall.
Right.
And then they traded for PK Subban.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who their goaltenders are?
I have no idea. Martin Brodeur?
Corey Schneider. Who's been very injured now.
All right.
And Mackenzie Blackwood.
Who?
Exactly.
Wow. That's anorexically
thin. So they might need a goalie for the playoffs?
They might need a goalie for the regular season.
They might need one by January. Another team that's been doing a lot, granted cap space doesn't necessarily work right now.
Well, then maybe we can get something good out of it.
You know? Carolina Hurricanes have Peter Mrazek and James Reimer.
That's right.
And they've loaded up.
Well, then maybe we get a piece coming with it. If we were to take Mrazek or Reimer for Anderson, blah, blah, blah. So
we would need to take an expiring contract like what they did.
Take an expiring contract.
Ooh, and retain some
and
cash.
Something.
You can take Eric Halla. Love Eric Halla.
We'll see.
No, he got traded there, I think. Not signed.
Anyway, we'll see. All these names for sure.
So those are my two picks for where Craig Anderson's going to land.
I wanted to ask you a question that they were talking about on the radio today, which was, this is a serious question, not, okay.
So what's the sugariest drink that you can create that, not Lever's Hage, that AJ would drink?
Whiskey Dango.
Because that's what they were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't really listen to TSN 1200 anymore, because it's really... I say this with deep sorrow, because I was a long-time listener, but I found that most of the shows have become very, very difficult to listen to because...
They fired all the good guys.
Yeah, they have.
They fired the Two Sens fans.
They fired the Two Sens fans. So, Steve Warren and Todd White?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
JR's Flames.
Yeah.
Simmers. Leafs, Caps.
And Most Patriots. And Patriots. I know it's not the NHL, but he's more of a Patriots fan than anything else. Yeah, it's become very, very difficult to listen to. And that bothers me because I'd like to be a faithful listener that I've been for many years, but that station has become very difficult to listen to.
And there's no chemistry on the shows anymore.
Yeah. Compared to what there used to be. And I mean, I'm not disparaging Simmer. I just don't like him and...
I loved him and Ian.
And JR. Exactly.
Him and Ian were great.
He and Ian were great. I find that in the morning, it's just like, no, this isn't working for me. It's not a chemistry thing. It's almost like you talk too much for a morning show. You can talk that much in the afternoon, but in the morning, talk less.
Yeah, people are actually rushing, right? So it's
Talk less. Mm. So... It's really become quite annoying for me, unfortunately. But this was a question they were talking about on the radio, and I thought it was a good one. And it's a serious question. What would you trade or give up, depending on which way you want to look at it, for Patrick Laine? If you're the Ottawa Senators GM, and you're talking to the GM of the Winnipeg Jets, what would your serious offer? Not, okay, a second round pick and a bunch of spare parts. No, no. You're going to have to offer something pretty good.
Okay, together on three.
What would you offer?
One, two, three. Bobby Ryan. Oh, I think you're going to do it too.
Oh.
I said serious offer because they wouldn't want that. But what would you offer? And my offer for Patrick Laine would be the San Jose first round pick, Chris Tierney, Bernard Docker, and Yaros.
That's not enough.
I don't think it is, but I'm not really sure I want to give up more than that. I mean, if anybody is calling the Ottawa Senators,
30 goals in a down, yeah.
There are three pieces that
there are 30 other teams that you haven't called, including Seattle. Yeah.
But there are three pieces in the Ottawa Senators that are not touchable, as far as I'm concerned, for the upcoming, for any trade.
Mm-hmm.
That is our first round pick in the upcoming draft,
mm-hmm.
Thomas Chabot and Brady Tkachuk. Everything else is negotiable.
You do it for Brännström and San Jose's first. I think that's what I would offer.
If you were Winnipeg, would you take that?
They need defense badly now.
Is that enough for Patrick Laine? One player and a first round pick that's probably going to be in the mid.
It's enough for Mark fucking Stone. It's better than Mark Stone. It's better than Mark Stone.
True. But if you were Winnipeg, would you take that? That's my question. If you were Winnipeg, would you take that? Brännström and a first.
I don't know. But Laine. I'd offer
too bad
a lot.
We traded Cody Ceci away.
Offer up a lot.
And the same question could be said, what would you offer Calgary for Matt Tkachuk?
Everything.
Well, other than those three pieces, everything.
Yeah.
I think that would really kind of solidify it as a team.
Well, it's
going to be a very clicky team.
It's an interesting thought on both of those players. Like, what would you offer and what would we have to give up? We have lots of assets and we have a lot of upcoming picks as well, but
is Tkachuk a center? Is he a center?
Matthew?
Yeah, I'm trying to find Calgary.
I can't remember.
Calgary Flames.
I can't remember.
Left wing.
Okay, well, so you can have the two Tkachuks with somebody in the middle of them. There you go, Logan Brown in the middle with the two Tkachuks.
You can call it the Oreo line.
Oh, the reverse Oreo.
Reverse Oreo if it was Anisimov, but thanks for that. Moving on.
Wow.
Wow. Yikes. I don't have anything else to talk about for the rest of the league because I just don't care. Because it's preseason.
Oh, who knows, man?
Exactly. It's preseason.
That's right, if Austin Matthews is getting caught with his pants down.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he's got something going on. I saw something about that on the way.
That's
going
to cost him the C.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
So what is the story again?
He got hammered with his friends.
Over the summer
in Scottsdale. Approached a woman's car, opened the door, pulled his pants down, wound her.
Well, that's random.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He's a dare or some dumb shit.
He had to turn around so he could see the name on the back of his shirt.
Yeah, you're doing that to somebody who's won a couple of Calder Cups. What have you won? Nothing. Nothing at all. So, that's good. We don't have any email to read, do we?
Don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think we have a voicemail.
Do we?
No. We've did that
Didn't,
last episode.
Did CB Inc. send one in?
I think it's a Grind Your Gears.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, then let's go to that.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm going to need a minute to pull that one up. So
okay.
Let's start.
I'll start. Because I actually have one. And surprise, surprise, mine has to do with driving.
Oh.
No big surprise there. I was driving home last evening, and I was on Bronson Avenue, northbound. I had just crossed the canal into the Glebe. Okay? Four-lane road. I am in the right hand of the northbound lanes. We went through the stoplights at Homewood, and the car in front of me suddenly throws on the brakes. Like, hard. Yep. Fortunately, I am not following too close, and I am able to do this too. And for some reason, the car beside me decided to throw on their brakes too. And the good news was that was a really good idea for them. Because the car in front of me, in the right hand of the two northbound lanes, suddenly cuts a U-ey right across Bronson. No signal, Nothing.
Good luck, everybody else.
Exactly.
Jeez.
And I went, okay, that's the craziest thing I've seen today. I'm going to have to remember this. And it was the craziest thing I had seen that day for about 90 seconds. As I continued up Bronson Avenue North, I came up. The area right around the Queensway and Bronson is under construction.
Yep.
Right at the stoplights before you go underneath the Queensway. Again, I'm in the right-hand lane. There's nobody in the left-hand lane. It's a red light. There's a pickup truck in front of me. What do you think they did? Pulled a U-ey during the red light.
Ooh.
With no signal, nothing. They just pulled a U-ey in the middle of a construction zone on a red light as cars are coming off the Queensway right there.
Oh my God.
And going north and south on Bronson. So they just pulled a U-turn in the middle of nowhere. And a car pulled up beside me, and they were kind of looking over at me, and I was looking over at them with the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot pan face going on, hands raised, going, I have no idea what just happened there. Twice in what, a kilometer and a half?
I'm guessing that truck saw the other person pull the U-ey and went, that's a good idea.
What a great idea, but I'm going to do mine on a red light because I'm going to outdo that punk. Yeah. Unbelievable. I got off. I just like, okay, I've used up all 9 of my car lives today on Bronson. So I'm going to get off Bronson as soon as I possibly can.
All right. Let's hear what CB Inc. has to say.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, guys. It's CB Inc. calling. Good to be back recording things again. It's all good. You know what grinds my gears? You go to a restaurant for lunch and they say they're open at 11 and you get there at 11:05. And they look at you and say, we don't open till 11:30. What the heck is this? I mean, you say you're open at 11, but you're not open till 11:30. So change the damn sign. Anyway, thanks. Good show. And I'm going to give a little shout out to my friend Paul from Belleville, who's moved to Ottawa. And he said he's going to start listening to you guys. Thanks again. Talk to you later.
Hopefully you lasted this long, Paul.
Thanks, CBA. Paul, welcome. If you're a new listener, great. Drop us a line anytime you like.
What happened to me when I went to Schwartz in Montreal?
You went to Schwartz's?
Schwartz. Because Google Maps said like we open at 8:30 or something. That's like, okay. So I'm like, we open at 11.
Oh, no. Montreal delis don't open at 8:30.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was the receiving or the grocery side, but even both sides were closed. I'm like, your Google Maps is wrong.
Yeah.
That's why you check their website. But anyway, pretty good smoked meat. I don't mind Schwartz's. I've been there a few times, but it's still not as good as Ben's, which is unfortunately closed and torn down, and they made a skyscraper or something there. But it was really I used to drive to Montreal for a smoked meat at Ben's. We would leave Sunday at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, drive to Montreal, get a smoked meat, come home. And I wrote an exam one morning on a Monday morning at 8:30 in the morning when I was in university after doing that. Still passed. I still did very well in that course, actually. Yeah. Good times. Anything grind your gears?
Recently stayed at a hotel in the Toronto area. And it's 7:30 in the morning. 7:30. I hear knock, knock, knock. Housekeeping. Knock, 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 knock. Housekeeping. Jiggle, 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 jiggle. I had the lock on so they couldn't get in. But 7:30? Really? So now I had to make sure I put out the little do not disturb sign.
A little early. Was this an airport hotel?
No, I purposely didn't put out the sign because I thought, you know, I'm going to be up and at him by 8 or 8. I'll be out of here by 8:30 or something. But I thought that was a little pushing it there.
That's a little. And I was going to say, if it's an airport hotel where people leave for, you know, 6 a.m. flights, okay.
No, this was in Markham.
Okay. So that's very odd.
So that kind of weird, I thought.
Yeah, very strange.
The one that really continues to grind my gears, I'm pretty sure I've used this before, but, you know, having driven several times, including recently to Toronto and back along Highway 7, where you have one lane in each direction, people will drive whatever speed they're comfortable at. I'm not going to complain about that if you're driving a little slow, because I have an opportunity to pass you. But they drive slow, and then as soon as the divided lanes come up to pass, they speed up.
Oh, yeah.
So you think, okay, this guy figured it out that he needs to drive the right speed. Okay, so we're all cool. And as soon as the divided lane stops, comes back to single lane, they slow way back down.
Because they feel comfortable driving faster on a wider road.
That's right. It's all relative to them. They're not paying attention. It's just, oh, it's wider. I go faster now.
It happens the exact same things if you drive. Happens if you drive up the line, up the valley, up towards Pembroke and Renfrew. It widens once in a while. Then people speed up. So you have to hammer it down to 130, 140 to get around people who then slow down again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to aggressively speed. Like, if you get caught during that pass, I don't know how you explain it.
Yeah. But. It's a problem if you're driving a car with a clutch that slips, though.
but anyway.
You get around it. Yes, that is a despicable behavior, unfortunately. Anything else? Let's get out of here.
What about me?
Come on. You already had one.
No, I didn't.
Nope.
Oh, you didn't?
He did not.
I thought he did.
Anyway, thanks for caring.
Yeah, culpa. But only a little.
So it's similar to driving, but you might have seen this online in regards to, in Edmonton, a WWE female wrestler.
I didn't watch this
Lacey
yet.
Lacey Evans.
I saw something about this, but I didn't care enough.
Who is a bad guy. So she ended up just recording a video of her interaction with a cop about her getting a speeding ticket. And she's being all mean and rude and everything else like that, saying that Canada sucks. Can't wait to get out of Canada and all this. And then it all blew up and people were really mad at her. And TV stations wanted an interview with her and all this stuff.
It was all staged.
She's in character.
It wasn't necessarily staged. She did get a ticket and she's like, hey, can we just like record this? Because the cop was going over on the passenger side and not the driver's side, so that he can be in screen better. And he's smiling the whole time.
So he's
not an actor.
Yeah, he was just playing along with it.
Yep. And then he just ended with a welcome to Edmonton, and it was, which you give that attitude, it doesn't happen. And especially when she says, like, don't you know who I am? He's like, well, who are you? It's like, I'm Lacey Evans. He's like, well, I don't know who that is. It's like, and then he hands her back her ID. Her name is not Lacey Evans.
It's a
character name. It's a stage name.
Right.
So the fact that everyone got worked on that, I found it hilarious.
People need to
friggin' relax.
I was gonna say, if you're getting worked on that, you need to get out more often. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, you're getting all upset because a wrestler got pulled over and then cut a promo.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went to do the show in Edmonton, I think. Edmonton, they're around right now. So she's using that. It's like, now everybody knows about her, so it's great for her. She did the right thing.
Big promo
for
her.
Don't be upset about it.
Yeah. Suck it up.
Jeez.
Stop being stupid.
Do you know what I think grinds everyone's gears, though?
Eugene Miller.
People who don't put shopping carts away properly.
that one too.
I got,
and that's a boomer thing. I'm not telling you otherwise.
I had to, well, no, I see pretty much.
Because when I worked at the grocery store friggin' 25 years ago now, I guess, 20-ish, I can't remember, 20-ish years ago, customers are always putting their carts all the way back in.
Well, people are just lazy now.
Boomer are the old people, aren't they?
Boomers are the old people.
More so around your generation.
And younger than me. But it's not
the millennials, though. But
it's I think it's actually people have become to accept the I do the minimum and that's acceptable.
Yeah.
The absolute minimum. What's the least I can get away with that will be considered acceptable? Well, I put the cart somewhere near the enclosure. That's close enough. I don't care. Well, I didn't leave it in the middle of the parking lot. Oh, gold star for you, my dear.
Yay.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to give demerits anymore.
But I actually still have people, I've had several people say, you know what? You really pissed me off with that take because I do that and now I can't do it anymore without feeling guilty. I'm like,
You should be doing it in the first place.
I don't cause guilt. You feel guilt over your actions. I simply pointed out action.
You can either have 40 carts in there or 8.
Exactly. And I mean, if there was only 8 and then they're spilling out, you're going to be bitching about the fact that Costco hasn't cleaned up their parking lot and their carts all over the place while you contribute to the problem. Anyway, sorry. Yes? I'm not getting going.
Well, I was
going
to say the election, but no, oh, okay. The carts will be here.
Yeah, the election.
That's such a mess.
Yeah. The federal election can't be over soon enough. At least ours will be over within another 30 days or so, I think. I don't even know what election day is.
21st, yeah.
Is it 21st of October? Yeah. Okay.
It's only been 9 days.
Can't be soon enough.
We're already sick of it.
Can't be soon enough. I don't like
elections. See, listen, I'm pretty sure everybody already made their minds up.
Yeah.
I need to get it changed.
I can't get this over with soon enough, but yeah, that'll be good.
Actually, can I also throw in white people that are offended on behalf of minorities?
I'm offended by that.
So the people who create offense of...
No, those... So the whole brown face stuff?
Yeah.
And then white people that are offended that Trudeau did that because it's disparaging 20 years ago. And then most of the people that are minorities are like, nah, it was 20 years ago.
Let's move on, yeah.
That's how it was. You guys just weren't aware of it.
Well, you were in denial of it back then.
Not even denial, just oblivious to it.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a better way. You didn't notice that it was going on.
I'm watching TV now from like middle aughts, and there's a lot of stuff there that's really inappropriate, but it was acceptable back then.
Go further back than that, it gets much worse.
Yeah.
Much
worse. But this is just, it was Trudeau's an actor. He was getting into character as much as he could. Was it right? No. Was it right at the time?
It was pretty acceptable.
Acceptable. So freaking relax.
Move on. Yeah.
Ask Chir what his views are today, and he won't even answer it because he knows that it's not the popular answer. But I digress.
All right. Let's get out of here.
It's a hockey podcast. The nice thing about this year, and this is what I'm looking forward to the most, with the Thomas Chabot signing, there's no other business to deal with.
No pressing business, yeah.
And we can just watch the hockey and not worry for the first time in 3 years.
And we got a first round pick.
Will they trade him? Will they not trade him? And we have a first round pick.
We have two.
Turn on the tank.
We have two first round picks. I mean, yeah. We have our own.
And
we
really need Martin Jones to Martin Jones this year.
Mm-hmm. The goalie for San Jose.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. I'm like, Martin Jones. Okay.
It's not on? Unusual to be loving.
All right. We don't know when we're coming back because it's still preseason. Well. We don't. We'll figure that out later. We will figure it out at some
schedule?
Point.
You have your schedule with you?
I do, but we haven't talked about it yet.
Okay, we can figure this out after.
It's also still preseason. The season opens in next week?
We're not going to record 3 days from now. What do you think we are last year?
It's only Tuesday.
We started off so well last year and then just kind of petered off.
And then everything kind of fell apart. Yeah. Well, I'm working on that. We'll be back in the next couple of weeks once the season starts. So we'll be able to talk about the rest of the preseason and the start of the season and anything else that's been going on since then. Don't know when exactly. We'll hopefully remember to talk about that before we start recording next time and have it worked out when we'll be back. But anything else? No? Yes? No? Good. All right.
Drop the puck.
Yeah. Wait till the games start counting for real and then have fun. It may not be the greatest hockey in the world, but
it's going to be better than last year.
It should be more entertaining. It doesn't need to be more entertaining. I will settle for less frustrating.
Yep.
I'll settle for that.
Yep.
That'll be good enough. So let's look forward to hockey that's less frustrating.
Hashtag less frustrating.
That works for me.
That'll sell tickets.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We'll be back at some point. On behalf of Fan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal. Thank you all very much for listening.
Good night. See you.